So why, Robert asked, breaking into the reverie, why do it if you hurt yourself?
How should I know? Mabel said.
Really, you ask me why I do things?
Because I'm alone, because I can, because I enjoy it, I don't know. I just know that I think we should remember. And that's what we do. We're made to remember things, gentlemen. Jim was disgusted.
I see I wasted my time on you.
Such a shame.
Because I care for things other than me.
You're all you. No feelings for others, for pain. You're such a human.
I'm all troll, me.
I doubt it. The Vaultlings were right about something. We're not as fluid as we used to be, not with all these people about. And all those years running your club, I doubt you could change a moat any more. You're ruined. Static.
Don't try that game with me, Angel. I'm a master at it. Don't think you can turn me into stone. I won't crumble to dust.
Then change for me, Jim. Like the old days, when we were young. Change for us now.
You first.
Okay.
And Mabel transformed into the angel before them by spreading her wings, a great pair of shining wings filling the room. The nurses tending the dead man ducked without realizing why.
Now you, dearest.
There was an almighty expectant pause, and Gentleman Jim grimaced.
Baka!
Come on, she said, taking Robert by the hand. Hold on tight.
And she pulled him into an embrace, wrapped her arms round him before
she took off.
Down the corridor, past an unbetrousered Cyril, through the emergency exit and out into the night sky.
You owe me for the damage to my club,
Gentleman Jim bawled after them.
You any idea what the charge of the Light Brigade has done to the paintwork?
It was cold in the sky, especially as Robert wasn't exactly dressed for the outside, but Mabel the Angel was surprisingly warm in her embrace, if a little ungiving.
Where are we going?
Robert shouted.
My workshop.
Her reply vibrated through her chest, rather than through the rush of night air. The workshop turned out to be a lock-up in a back street, but after the aerial journey, Robert was glad to be in the warm. For all the normality of the exterior, the interior had a medieval ye olde England feel to it, complete with forge, which was simple, rustic even. Overhead, a plane made its descent into Luton Airport, and ruefully, the Mabel Angel tucked in her wings and became just Mabel again. Robert recognised the furnace and bellows where hot coals, or coke, or whatever, he wasn't an expert, glowed with a fierce heat, forcing Robert to the edge of the room. He watched as Mabel worked the furnace up, pumping the bellows, forcing the temperature up and up, casting the ore, or whatever, into the midst, and finally collecting the molten metal into a crucible, carrying it over to the anvil. She poured the metal onto the anvil, a small blob only. Over it she extended her hand, rubbing her forefinger and thumb together, till dust, a fine dust, fell. In slow motion it seemed, slower than in air. The moment the dust touched the metal, it glowed fiercer, brighter, whiter, and she lifted up her hammer and slammed it down upon the bright white metal. Down, down, and down again rained her blows, sparks flying, and her without gloves or protection of any kind. Stopping, again she held out her right hand, and again dust fell, and again the metal glowed, and again the hammer fell, and fell, and fell, and fell. She repeated the process again and again, till somehow the blob of metal had been shaped into a round disc, smooth and neat. Now for the final ingredient, she said. And she lifted her hand to her eye and swept out a single tear, which she dropped onto the water trough.
And into that water trough she plunged the finished disk, and a great plume of purple steam burst into the air. Mabel sat on the anvil, suddenly exhausted, pale and diminished.
"You can lift it out now," she said. "It's cool enough."
And Robert gingerly reached into the deep waters, plucking out the still warm medal, ready for its ribbon.
"Can you feel the war within?" she asked.
"It's angry," he said.
"And in pain."
"Yes.
That is war."
"Now," she said, "help me to pin it to my chest." Taking the disc, she threaded a ribbon through it, and together they placed it against a chest, from which no heart beat.